This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in RV insurance. RVs are for sharing adventures with family, friends, and even your pets. So if you bring your cats and dogs along for the ride, you'll want Progressive RV insurance. They protect your cats and dogs like family by offering up to $1,000 in optional coverage for vet bills in case of an RV accident, making it a great companion for the responsible pet owner who loves to travel. See Progressive's other benefits and more when you quote RV insurance at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet injury is an additional coverage and subject to policy terms.
Looking to refresh your closet, home, or beauty routine this spring? Walmart's got all the stylish goods in one stop. From chic new looks and the latest makeup to quality furniture and tableware. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending for the hottest fashion, home, and beauty finds. Your style at Walmart.
You wanted the best, you got the best.
This is Hall of Famer Dave LaGreca.
And two-time Hall of Famer Bully Ray.
And you are listening to the Shout It Out Loudcast with Zeus and Tom right here.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
This is Gene Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Yes.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Broker Simmons.
Star? Paul Stanley. Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
My name is Ace.
Really? He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no, here come the kiss times.
Is that a positive thing? Okay.
All right.
I'm going to grab me an ice cold mellow yellow.
Hey! Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because you fuck him.
That's what
I'm talking about.
617-525-0850.
Yes. Settle down.
Hey, what's up there, Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus with another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast, episode 246. Martin Popoff, Kiss at 50. Tom, the great Martin Popoff is back, our fellow Pantheon podcaster and the great metal and hard rock author.
Yes, and he finally came around and did a Kiss book. We both have copies of it. It's friggin' spectacular, and we're going to talk all about it, and he's going to talk all about it. But first, we're recording on Wednesday, October 18th, just as breaking news is breaking, and we're going to get to that in a minute. But
it's
going to be hey, wait, do you hear that? Shh, do you hear that sound? That's the Kiss Tard alarm. It's the Kiss Tard alarm. It's like a nuclear fallout. It's like wah, wah, wah.
Yep.
Kiss people, news.
People in the warehouse drop in their shit. They see like the Kiss Tard symbol in the sky, like the Batman symbol, and all these Kiss Tards come running out of their nerd homes and nerd jobs. Kiss Tard shit. Fucking nerds. Good Lord. We gotta go live, Tom.
Kurt Gooch, stop. Sam Loomis,
stop what you're doing. I have to go live. I got, dude.
Just honestly, who fucking cares? I mean, it's yes. Fun to it's fun to goof on, but at the end of the day, who cares?
This is why sometimes I'm embarrassed. Like, yeah, well, you know the band Kiss, yeah. Well, I kind of do a podcast on them. What?
Dude, I don't tell any, literally no one at work knows about this.
Yeah. I do not share this kind of stuff. Like I was just saying to Tom off the air, I'm like, I just came back from my daughter's field hockey game. Imagine if I just turned around to everybody like, hey, parents here, I'm in a Kiss contest coming up. Could you please go to kissdorks.com and vote for me? And I think my kid would like fucking want to run away. Be so embarrassed by that. Jesus Christ, some of you people. Come on.
No, fucking Kiss news. Jesus Christ, Mike. Let's get him now.
While we got the muscle.
That's what Paul and Gene said. Jesus Christ, Gene. Let's get him now while we got the muscle.
Fucking, you would think Kiss is like coming out of retirement after 10 years and reuniting the original band.
You know what this reminds me of? Like, this reminds me, like, this reminds me of that Chris Rock bit where he talks about, like, the OJ. Like, we won! We won! I ran out to my mailbox. Where's my OJ prize? I didn't get anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, where's my Kurt Gooch prize? I didn't fucking get anything.
Just the people that are so invested in this shit.
And at the end of the day, literally nothing concrete comes out of this other than like a little fucking dick measuring contest.
Other than you getting bombarded by shit by Roy.
Oh, well, fucking, I will say that. I will say that.
Fucking adamant that who fucking Samlin was says even more so, and he won't shut up about it. But
our buddy Roy, hey, he's a good guy to keep close. But he is.
We call him our buddy, but he's a source for us, and we're not. You know, we have a friendly relationship with him. Let's say, and take it for what it's worth, guys. When he says something, I'm not putting a lot of stock in it, but it's fun to listen to him sometimes. But this just stuff is, it makes it unfun. Like, we got DMs from people. Hey, what'd you guys think? Hey, did you see the news? Hey, like, I don't give a fuck.
It doesn't matter. Because at the end of the day, whoever wins the lawsuit, it doesn't affect anything.
Oh, this guy's got it coming. Fuck Kurt Gooch. Who cares? I don't fucking care about Kurt Gooch.
First of all, those videos were mostly fucking terrible. Anyways.
Oh, I didn't get to see the footage of fucking Paul Stanley throwing away some candy corn he had left over from Halloween. I wanted to see that. And he got taken down by Kurt Gooch. Oh. Fucking nerds. Jesus Christ.
So, our friend and source, Roy Dam, has been feverishly messaging me back and forth because he's buddies with Kurt. Business partners, you know, has a relationship with Kurt.
So, guys, we'll get into it a little bit in the news section. Me and Tom are just laughing about this stupid shit off the air when we get started, and just fucking unbelievable. Anyways, let's get to some funny shit. And the funny shit is who we had on last week.
Yes.
And that was the great Craig Gass.
Yep.
Tom, we did a poll for him, and how'd that go?
Yeah, so we asked everybody what their favorite impression was, because he does a ton of them. And as always, Twitter only allows you to put four. So, of course, we put Gene, Paul, Al Pacino, and Sam Kinison. Now, no surprise that Gene won. Gene came in at 42%. But people loved the Sam Kinison that he does, which, of course, it's awesome. That came in at 25%. Al Pacino at 19%. Paul Stanley came in at 14%. All of them were incredible. I mean, you could have thrown it. A lot of people love the Lars one.
No, Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan was incredible. Wesley Shipp, the Sam Kinison impression was spot on. Great episode, T and Z. Keith Rochford, Craig Gass is hilarious. This was another in a long string of amazing episodes. Tennessee Duke, tremendous episode. Craig's story about fooling Lars with his impressions on the radio show had me rolling. Yeah, that was a really, really funny stuff. Craig was great. We're excited to see him in New York City for the weekend of the final show, so that's going to be great. What else do we got going on here in Twitter? Oh, MD, he said it was funny. He commented on this just as I heard it at the same time. He comments on Twitter, between songs right now on SiriusXM Hair Nation, and Mark Slaughter was doing like a little bit, and he said, "This is Gene Simmons of Kiss." No, not really. This is Mark Slaughter. Now, if you heard that, and it's so funny because I commented because I literally heard it. Mark Slaughter does a great Gene Simmons. It's definitely not Craig Gass, but it was actually kind of funny, the timing. Our buddy Jim Riley, he says, "I saw Craig in December of 2021 at Vamped in Las Vegas with Bruce Todd, Zach, and Eric Singer. Craig is the man, funny and talented. This episode had awesome stories." Yes, because he is friggin' hilarious. And our good buddy Tom Dust, who does our incredible intro music, and sometimes we forget to mention that, but Tom, we love you, buddy. The Lars bit was hilarious.
And our outro now.
Yes, that's right. Our new outro, which we're getting a lot of feedback on. That's great, too. Yes. He says, "The Lars bit was hilarious, and all of his impersonations are dead on, especially Lars and Sebastian. Anyone going to see the final Kiss show should make it a priority to see him live. Great episode and guest as always." Tons of great comments. Everybody loved Craig. How could you not? It was a ton of fun. We love having those kinds of episodes. So that's what we got for Twitter.
All right. over on Facebook, our buddy Jason Warden, one funny dude. The impressions had me laughing my ass off. Sam Kinison, Paul and Gene. God damn. Another home run episode, guys. Been contemplating if I'm going to see Kiss in Austin one last time. But hell, with Craig playing there around that time, may go to that too. You should. He's a good guy. Support your local guys, man. Right. Ronnie Bachowski. Jesus Christ, I'm on a bicycle. Funniest episode yet. I was laughing so hard, I almost shit my dick off. His impressions are stellar. And then his recollection of Lars saying his whole family was retarded. I spit my coffee all over my goddamn truck. And how he doesn't imitate Ace because it's such a low hanging fruit. I want to go to New York just to see his comedy about the band. Quality show is finest, dudes. My nuts are still in my chest and cracking up. It's funny because I keep telling Tom, like, I think I'm becoming like getting Alzheimer's or something because I couldn't understand what the hell he's talking about. Jesus Christ, on a bike, Tom? What does he mean by that? He's like, no, he's saying he was on a bike. I'm like, huh? Oh,
he was saying, you know how some people say Jesus Christ on a popsicle stick? You ever heard that phrase?
No.
You never heard that phrase either?
No.
So that's what he's saying, like Jesus Christ on a bicycle. It's just another way of saying Jesus Christ.
I fucked that up too, I guess.
Literally no one was on a bike.
Yeah. I had no idea. I'm like, the fuck is he talking about? And you're like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm losing it. I'm losing my mind.
We all are. It's okay.
Yeah,
we're getting old. The Kistards are fucking ruining our brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Over on our Loudcasters page, Judy Chase says, head into Nashville and Austin shows and purchase tickets for Craig's show in Austin today. Love it. Love when we tell people,
awesome.
Our listeners go and support the people that we have on the show. The fact that you did that, Judy, that's awesome. We love that. And we always try to share that with our guests afterwards. We're like, hey, check it out. Look what these people are saying. They bought your book or they're going to go see your show because they were on our show. That shows the power of the Loudcaster.
Yes, Judy, that's awesome. Thanks. Yeah. And Craig will appreciate that obviously as well.
Yeah, and so feel free to tag them when you do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Cameron Holiday says, by the way, I really want to see the Paul Stanley Hair Salon in person. But what was the sound by Zeus used for the derogatory word that Carmine said about Vinny? Could not make out what was said. So, Tom, you probably may not have heard the episode. So I take a clip that's from Little Big Town. They have a song, and in the middle of the song, they say some word that they, and it comes out with the robot voice, censorship. And I put that over what I said that Carmine said. So nobody could hear it. They weren't going to hear it. If you want, DM us and I'll tell you what he said. Russ Tozer. What an awesome episode, Teensy. Really enjoyed it. Little surprise, but in a good way that from Craig's stories, Paul can laugh at himself sometimes. Makes you wonder who's the real Paul Stanley. He's hard one to work out. Certainly, Craig holds him in high regard. Exactly. Great point, Russ.
It's a great
point.
We had
a few people say to us, Paul? Sense of humor? What?
The only thing I can attribute that to is that it's a private conversation. Yeah, it's a private one-on-one sense of humor. It's not like a public forum sense of humor. It's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah. Yeah. Maurizio Salvitella. Sorry if I butchered that.
Maurizio. Hey.
Just purchased tickets for the Seattle show now. Love seeing that. We just said it.
Yeah, it's great.
Over on our Instagram page. Wetzel Keith Wetzel. Guys, I just finished this episode and is hands down my favorite episode and interview. I've listened to every episode of yours and the story told on this one are absolute best. Thank you. Wow. Great. Keith, much appreciated, buddy. Thank you.
I love that.
Amber Pickering Art, just listening in, loving it so far. All right. Let's go to YouTube. Patrick 2420. This was my favorite guest that you've had on the show by far.
Wow.
Great stories, back and forth banter between the three of you. I woke my wife up with laughing so hard, I shook the entire bed. She was pissed.
Uh-oh. We're not responsible for this.
Yeah. It was Craig Gass told his announcement on the Kiss Cruise story. Holy shit, that was funny. Great episode. Also, the ending was awesome. Thanks, dude. Yeah, that's Ravishing Rick Rude from the 80s, the great wrestler. I used to love his promos where he'd come out and insult everybody in the crowd.
Loved it.
Yeah. All right. It's been a while since we read one of his comments. Montreal 3944, who I think is Montreal Voots Costa. Yep. Week in, week out, your show continues to be the breath of fresh air and laughter that we all need in these times of depressing news. This episode had me eagerly waiting for Craig to tell us another KISS story that none of us would ever have heard about without the U2 and SIOL. With the number of amazing guests that you've interviewed continuing to climb, have you guys thought about jotting down some notes and summaries of different episodes so that you can accumulate the reference material for when you decide to write a book about Shout It Out Loudcast? You can host a book launching weekend party at a first ever Shout It Out Loudcast gathering of KISS tards. Time and place to be determined. Take care, gents.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Bonus. And this episode is exactly the reason why we love this show. KISS geeks talking about the band and enjoying each other's stories. Fuck, what a funny dude. We'll definitely go and see him while in New York City for KISS. We are too. We're talking about going on Thursday night for all those who are planning on being there.
Yep. We'll get into more details as that weekend approaches about what we're going to do, where we're going to be and all that stuff. So yeah, it'll be a good time.
Our buddy Keith Wetzel again commented and said he listened 3 times already.
Wow. Jesus. Wow.
About the Funk says, Craig is so freaking hilarious. I spit out my mellow yellow.
I love it. Love it.
Chris Flood, 9205. Chris is a very loyal listener to us. And he's.
Yes.
And I like that. Hey, guys, as a kid, I used to look forward to Saturday morning cartoons. Now as an adult, Saturday morning is for Tom and Zeus. As always, great interview. Some other KISS podcasts sometimes take me a week to listen to, or I just abandon them. Well, we hope you'll never abandon us, Chris, and we love having you.
That's amazing. Love that.
Evil Eye 47, he says, stop putting Ace down, guys, nonstop. Then you might want to hang up because it's coming.
Stop listening now.
Yeah. We're not putting him down. We're having some fun. You don't fucking like it.
He puts himself down every time he gets on fucking stage and tries to play Rip It Out.
There's plenty of little footy pajama KISS fucking podcasts out there you can listen to that'll be like, oh, wasn't that just wonderful?
It wasn't.
Yeah. Marty White. I was shocked to hear Paul Stanley has a sense of humor about himself. I actually thought the last time he had a good time was in KISS Exposed.
that's kind of funny.
That's what I got, Tom. Over to you.
All right, let's get through a couple emails here. We got a fantastic, long, nice email from Matthew Luke Bedow. Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that. Great email. It's really long. Want to appreciate that. I'll just read one of the ending sections here. He says, man, I cannot thank you guys enough. Love your work and your skills, even though you're both incredibly wrong about New York Groove. Although I think Zeus likes New York Groove.
Yeah, I do like it.
That sucks. You guys are so honest and on in your opinions. It's a breath of fresh air. Not blind KISS can do no wrong fanatics. Shout Out Loudcast is now a must, a staple. Even my wife has begrudgingly started to listen. Probably the Boston accents. Never stop. Love you, brothers. Thank you with love. Matthew Bedow. Matthew, fucking love that, dude. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you, Mrs. Bedow.
Yeah, Bedow. Absolutely.
Is it Bedow?
Put that cookie Bedow.
It is so fucking stupid.
Exactly. That's
what that cookie bit out.
Why is that funny? I don't know. We got another one here from our good friend Rudy Doth. I've been thinking about this since KISS announced the last shows in New York City. What are they going to do that's special? Anything? Here's my prediction. Peter sings Beth, no makeup. That's all. Here's why. There's no big beef right now between Gene and Paul. He's in a good place in his life. He's happy and enjoying life, and he doesn't have a shitty attitude like Ace. and he lives in New Jersey. Easy for him to get there. Just my two cents. Love you, fellas. Rudy, it's a compelling argument.
Love it. I love if that's true. Yeah.
But it ain't gonna happen.
I hope it's true, and I love your comments, Rudy. You're always fucking...
Yeah.
You're always making sense when you talk, Rudy. Love you.
Always. Yes. And we'll finish up emails here with one from our buddy Nicola Cassieri, also known as Nick, who sends us a fantastic photo of him wearing a beautiful Shout Out Loudcast shirt. And I got to say it, Nick, thank you for embracing your baldness like I do. It looks beautiful on you, and you should wear that proudly as you do. He sends us a nice long email here about the Kiss Cancer Goodbye event, which everybody's been pummeling Loudcasters with videos. We'll get into that.
He also did a recap of night one and night two on our Loudcasters page.
Yes.
Which was fucking excellent. Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you.
It was great. It was great. So he talks about how great that weekend was, the event. Glad you were there. And then just to sum it up, he has some really, really kind and thoughtful words to me about everything that happened last year with my family. And he not only has some kind words to say about me, but he also has some kind words to say about the Loudcasters in general as a community, and obviously the show and Zeus and how we've become a family. And he's glad to be part of the family. And Nick, we can't be happier that you're part of the family too. He says, I look forward to more and more episodes. Hope to meet you and Zeus in person somewhere down the road. So Nick, but that's just a summary of your wonderful email. And we appreciate those kind words, especially your little specific comments towards me and my family. So that's much appreciated. But enough with the serious business. We're going to finish up comments with Zeus, and then we're going to have some fun.
Nick, in his comment and the other ones, easily would have been comment of the week any other week.
Easily, yes.
Awesome.
But because this is Shout It Out Loudcast, we have to give the comment of the week to something that is truly a Loudcaster moment.
So
it's fucking so stupid.
John Whiteman has become the LP Storlino of 2023.
Exactly, yeah.
His fucking comments and memes are tasty, are done right. They're not overdone. He's not doing 50 of them a fucking day.
He walks the line perfectly.
Yes. Yes. So he put that photo up of Vinnie Vincent with the guitar in the bathroom with his foot on the toilet. So there is an original clip of that, and it's normal. Without saying anything, he put a fucking log the size of a baby's fucking body in the toilet.
But the best part of it was that his comment doesn't reference that. He lets people discover it on their own.
That's the brilliance of it.
Exactly.
And then people are like, wow, is that a PC? Okay. Well, as of now.
When I first saw it, I see his comment. He's like, oh, an early picture of Vinny, you know, young and when he was hungry. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, what the fuck?
I just thought it was paper towels thrown in there. And then I'm like, what? But anyway, the great part about this, Tom, is it has 2.3 likes already. But more
2.3 thousand likes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
2.3 thousand likes. But more importantly, it has 3,200 comments on it.
This might be one of the proudest Loudcasters moments. The most interactive post ever has to do with Vinnie Vincent's shit.
So, yes, it's Photoshopped. It's not real.
Yes.
And it's got 3,200 comments.
That's insane.
If you want to die laughing, go through the comments on that. It's fucking hilarious. People are like, holy Christ, is that a log?
Somebody, the comments be like, wait a minute, why didn't he flush? Like, just like people, like.
And then, like, they'll take titles and change it around. What was it that he did? The shit out of that chicken.
It's just so ridiculous.
Anyways, a lot of other people took the post and shared it on social media, but they shared our Loudcasters post. A couple shared it and didn't credit us or John and just put it on their page and then actually put a photo of their stuff on that photo to try to claim that it's like, you know, their ownership if anybody else steals it. So they wanted to protect themselves from somebody stealing it, yet they stole it from us.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. Why? Why would you? What? It's just so obvious. Why would you even try to fuck around with a picture?
Put
like
a
that?
Little sticker of their little pod on the side. Whatever. Like it's just childish.
Stop it. Stop it.
They should know better than doing stupid shit like that. Yep. But anyways, John Waymore for the log in the toilet. You, my friend, are common of all time.
Good answer. Good answer. Like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Seriously. I mean, that's just spectacular. And everything we love about the Loudcasters.
Tom, what we do next is we give a shout out to our Patreon family. Patreon is where people can subscribe, help out the show, put a monetary contribution to us in four different tiers, all the way from Catman, Spaceman, Star Child, and Demon. And they get different perks for whatever tier they sign up for. So there's merch involved. There's involvement in the show. The album review crew pick is coming up next month. There is t-shirts. There's video chats coming up too. All sorts of things. So if you want to help the show, you want us to continue to grow, get awesome guests and people to come on and want to come on our show, well, your contribution helps. So if you want to help us out, please sign up to Patreon. You'll get some perks involved. And more importantly, when you join, you become part of the Patreon family, which is another aspect of the Loudcast experience that is just above and beyond everyone else as far as the Loudcaster family. Come join the fun. You can join in on one of the higher tiers, the lower tiers, whatever tier fits your needs. But support the show. Join our Pantheon family. And honestly, those that are there, thank you for being a big help to the show.
Yeah, you guys are the best. The Patreon guys are amazing, and the support that you give the show is incredible. And we try to give back with a lot of fun things, like, you know, like the ARC pick that's going to be coming up for the month of November. That has already been selected. And, of course, being interactive with our Flashback Friday, getting sneak peeks about what the episode will be on every Thursday. And just your ability to create your own chat and start your own little forum on Patreon amongst that group of people. And, you know, sometimes you give little sneak peeks, some information that we wouldn't publicly give on Twitter or Facebook. And we share that with our patrons. So please check it out. Go to patreon.com, download the app, or click on the link on our website.
Yep. Thank you very much. And Tom, what we do next is we go to Kiss World. We'll get to the last part, which will be the breaking news that just happened. Nerd alert. But yeah. Other than that, I believe Kiss is starting the last concerts of all time from their tour is starting, I believe, now.
That's right. So by the time this episode drops, they will already have a few shows in the tank. So Thursday, October 19th is Cincinnati. Friday the 20th is Detroit. And then they take Saturday off and then they go to Cleveland, Nashville. So the train is rolling. There's not much time left for Kiss's concert. So it's going to be pretty exciting. And, you know, I think everybody's waiting to see if in fact it will be Paul's son is the opening act. That's the rumor. People say it's confirmed. We'll see. That show is tomorrow night. I think people are anxious to see if there's any changes to the set list. We've heard from some sources that there may be changes to the stage.
Yes.
Who knows that we've heard that. We don't know. So all that will come to bearing, you know, tomorrow in the next few days. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. In addition to that, Kiss Cancer Goodbye just finished up. I heard it was a success. I hope they raised a lot of money. We had some good friends over there participating. It was great to see Joey did well performing. Most of the shows that I saw, Tom, online looked great, sounded great. Mm-hmm. And then there was our friend who put a video out. Hey, everybody, this is Ice Frehley. Come see me perform at the Arlington Bowlodrome near the high school. I'll be performing there with the local Arlington High School Glee Club. And also, in addition to that, If you want, you can catch me. I'll be here doing a performance over in New Hampshire, since my buddy Tom just got a new shed, and I signed a new lease with them over there. I put a security deposit of a box of cassettes that I have. I got from my girlfriend, Rachel. I told them it's worth a couple $1,000s. One of them has some stuff that I was noodling with Pepe Castro. I think one of the songs turned out to be the demo for Genghis Khan. So, Tom, I think in lieu of those cassettes, I should have a free month, a rental space there for you. What do you think?
Ace, you're welcome to it. You know, and he did drop me a line, too. He said, Tom, I'm real happy about the loft that you put on there. It's going to give me some space for my old Les Paul. It's going to allow maybe if Rachel wants to stay over. She was asking. She's been sleeping under a bridge. She figured maybe the loft would be a nice place. She could keep some extra cashews and some snacks. You know, sometimes when I roll over in the middle of the night when I'm not trying not to shit myself, I grab some Cheetos and, you know, lick the cheese off my fingers. It's a pretty good time. Thanks for the shed.
Just for the record, Tom, I just want to find out, since you pick up Scout's mess in the backyard, do you mind if I drop a couple deuces back there, too? Sometimes I can't make it to the toilet, so if you got an extra glove in a bag. Sorry, the last one I dropped was a little bit sloppy. I had a sloppy Joe with a couple of cashews still stuck in the turd. You can tell those ones are mine and not Scout's.
You know, all I'm thinking of right now is poor Martin Popoff. like you've got like one of the world's greatest rock authors, and we're going to sandwich a fantastic interview with this.
I love it, because most of the pitches that I make to people to come on the show, hey, we want you to come on the number one rated Kiss show. We'll talk about Kiss and that. In between talking about fucking Ace shitting out cashews.
Ace sleeping in Tom's shed with his drunken bridge-dwelling ex-girlfriend up in the loft.
Selling a box full of cassettes with demos with Pepe Castro, to make a couple bucks. I could use it for the security deposit. But anyways, in the meantime, Tom, Kiss is getting their tour ready. Ace is going to go back on tour again. Peter's doing an appearance in Atlanta, some horror thing, convention. I believe Bruce is back on the road with Grand Funk. You know, all's well in the Kiss world. They're all still out there live. Go catch them, as many of them as you can, and have some fun with it, man. It's going to be over soon, so go out there and enjoy it. But unfortunately, Tom, we got to turn everything back to fucking the Kiss Tards ruining everything.
Yeah. So on this day, again, it's Wednesday, October 18th. The news broke on bravewords.com. Courthouse News Service reporting that Kiss members Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley are filing a suit against Kurt Gooch, pretty much over the Sam Loomis videos. Again, I know it's nice drama. It's tabloid shit. It's fun to poke fun and make fun. But at the end of the day, who gives a flying fuck? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who wins or who loses. The videos were out there. People saw them. And I don't know enough about any of this shit. I mean, I know some people said, you know, the venues own the video, you know, like Winterland, you know, like the Winterland, the ballroom, they owned the video because it was taken on their video production team. I don't know. I'm not saying that Winterland was part of the Sam Loomis thing, but I don't know who owns this shit. Obviously Kiss must own it if they're the ones suing for it. Cause in the, you can read the full complaint on bravewords.com. There's a link to read the entire thing. And Kiss is pretty much saying that it's copyright infringement, that they never gave permission. They never authorized Kurt Gooch to do this. So it's either bootlegs, he stole it, or whatever. That's the report.
So I will put on my attorney hat here and try to make this as layperson eligible as possible real quick.
Please do.
It's in U.S. District Court, California. What's interesting, a couple things I'll pick out, the plaintiffs is Kiss Catalog, Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, Kiss Catalog and Section 5. Is the successor in interest in and to the interest that former Kiss band members Paul Ace Frehley
Hey, just call me Ball Ace Bradley.
What are you suing me for? I didn't even do anything.
I got a pot to piss in. I'm living in a shed in New Hampshire. And Peter Chris had in the film concert footage that is issue in this dispute. Accordingly, Kiss catalog Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley collectively own the rights at issue in this lawsuit. In other words, they're saying Kiss catalog is one of the plaintiffs. It used to have Paul Ace Frehley and Peter Chris as part owners. It does not. So, yeah, but I own the rights to it. And I just lease it to Kiss. Oh, sure you do.
I own the rights to Acrobat.
I own the rights to the demo to Genghis Khan. Oh, give it God. To you for a box of cashews and a mellow yellow. Anyways, so that part I always found interesting. And the defendant is Kurt Gooch and his company, which is known as Applause Licensing LLC.
Yep.
So they're looking for declaratory relief, which basically they just want to be able to say that they claim that the guys, basically Gooch and that company, claim to be owners of the copyright stuff, and they're not. It's Kiss's stuff. And then they list the items, A through H, which is stuff like Sunshine Inn and Asbury Park, Kiss performing Beacon Theater in Manhattan, 1975, Dressed to Kill Tour, 8mm, all this shit all the way down to 1977. And then they make mention that defendants don't own the rights to this stuff. And they have possession and control of other additional Kiss footage, which the defendants wrongfully claim to be their own in copyrights. So all those times that Gooch would strike everybody down, putting shit up and saying he's the owner, Kiss is coming out saying, yeah, they didn't even add these to this actual lawsuit, but they're saying that they have more stuff that Gooch is saying that, oh, these are mine and everybody take this down. And Kiss is saying, no, they're not yours. They didn't list them here, but they're saying there's more shit. They want to say that the defendant has no interest in the copyrights to the footage at issue and would be guilty of copyright infringement to the extent defendants attempted to license or exploit that footage. Sell it to fucking 15 people and tell each one of them, hey, you're the only one buying this. Shit like that. And for the declaratory judgment, the plaintiffs and not the defendants own the copyright to the filmed and recorded concert footage at issues. And the defendants don't. Like, they want to make that publicly known. And they're suing to get that on the record and for the cost of the lawsuit and for their attorney fees. So it's not so much damages, which I don't see the damages listed there. They're looking for them to stop and say, I'm the owner. You can't keep doing this stuff. Plus, you're going to pay for me to have to go to court to protect my rights. Why the fuck do I have to hire an attorney and waste my time to do this? You're going to pay for that shit. And that's what this is about. Now, we're reading that stuff out. I'm telling you, Kiss could have been a lot more vicious than they are here. I just think now that their time is running down, they're probably thinking, hey, shit, we got to get our act together about putting more Kiss footage out once we're done. So they're trying to clean this shit up.
Yeah, I was thinking of a couple things that cleaning up. So obviously, there's that story out there that Kiss is trying to sell the brand, that they're trying to sell the Kiss name. So this could be part of that. I mean, the other thing I was thinking is that the timing of this could be involved in the fact that next year is the 50th anniversary, and they might be working on putting a package together, whether it's a box set or a video, a DVD package or something. And they want to get this shit squared away so that
analysis.
So that it doesn't kind of sully any kind of marketing or advertising or sales that they may do. So that's my theory. I have nothing to go. That's just, I'm looking at it from a marketing perspective, not just a legal perspective.
Now, your little source there has made some comments, and they're his comments to you. They're not ours saying they're accurate. They're comments that Roy's been messaging you about. Anything of interest you want to just share? You don't have to put everything out there, but is anything that he's saying?
Yeah, there's a lot of
besides saying that he'll go to his grave saying the person that he's accused, that is Sam Loomis, is Sam Loomis. And that's something he's adamant about.
Yeah, he's saying a couple of things Roy says. He says the way that the paperwork reads, there's no proof to any of their claims, and not even the claims from Gene and Paul. They don't know what footage that they're talking about. They clearly state it in the paperwork. They literally go on to tell a judge that we believe they have more footage in their possession, which means they have not even done their due diligence and are making false claims, just like their fanboys did.
Well, Tom, that's the point that I'm making.
Yeah.
So if they get the declaratory judgment on those saying, yep, you did take the stuff, during this trial, they could say, in addition, the judge in the legal proceeding, they could be like, well, what else do you have? And make Kurt do all the work and be like, well, I've got this, this, and this, and that. And if he doesn't say that he has these things, and then later on these things come out, it could be seen that he lied under oath because he didn't mention it when he was asked, what else do you have? Do you follow?
I do. Yeah, I do. I do. Then there's a couple other things too here that he respectfully asks that we kind of don't talk about it like out on the show right now. And, you know,
we just did.
No, not that. No. Not what we just said. He continues because we were messaging all afternoon because then he tells me that he just got off the phone with Kurt, that he spoke in detail with Kurt about this and that Kurt has some information about, you know, a potential countersuit against Kiss. Things like that. So I don't want to get into too much of that in terms of Roy requesting us to not kind of talk about this. You know, maybe Roy will have a moment where he can kind of say what he wants whenever, but
Interesting.
Yep, very.
Well, that's a lot of news in a short period of time.
Yeah.
So Tom, let's take a quick break. I've got to help Ace tell the movers where to unpack his shit. And see if they can get everything into the shed and hopefully wrapped up in a couple hours before it starts to rain out there.
This podcast is supported by Progressive, a leader in RV insurance. RVs are for sharing adventures with family, friends, and even your pets. So if you bring your cats and dogs along for the ride, you'll want Progressive RV insurance. They protect your cats and dogs like family by offering up to $1,000 in optional coverage for vet bills in case of an RV accident, making it a great companion for the responsible pet owner who loves to travel. See Progressive's other benefits and more when you quote RV insurance at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Pet injury is an additional coverage and subject to policy terms.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we're back. Ace was just having a problem because he was asking if I could move the leaf blower and the weed whacker because he needed a place to hang up his coat and his Les Paul. He, you know, I really appreciate the fact you got some nice power tools here, but they're really getting in the way. I'm like, Ace, it's a shed. What do you want me to do, buddy? I'm doing the best I can. So he's trying. I'm trying to help him.
All right, how about if I just give you the security deposit and first month's rent? We let go of the last month's rent. We can bypass that part because frankly, to be honest with you, last week's show didn't do too well.
Yeah, and unless I sell more colored swirl variants of Spaceman, it's not going to really help me.
This single for Change the World flopped. I need to make a couple bucks on the next one. Hopefully it'll do better.
Jesus. Oh,
Tom, we have the great Martin Popoff back. Wow, the wealth of knowledge that man possesses. I could pick his brain all day. He is amazing, and he has this new amazing book, Kiss at 50. We both just received it. We're going to talk to him about it, and can't wait to get to that.
Yeah, I love when we have Martin on. Oh, I love to nerd out about music. He is so knowledgeable about so many bands in this genre, and we just have a blast. And to get into the weeds with Kiss in this book, it was just really exciting for us. So we're excited for you guys to hear it.
Without further ado, Martin Popoff, Kiss at 50.
Returning to Shout It Out Loudcast, one of the, if not the greatest rock journalists out there. You've read all of his books on every band except the book on Kiss, which is brand new. Kiss at 50, the great Martin Popoff joins us again. Martin, welcome to the show.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. This is very cool. Thanks for having me again.
Awesome. So we did we had you on before a couple of years ago when our show was kind of new, and we talked to you about, you know, rock and metal and all the books that you've done. And I remember as we kind of wrapped up that interview way back, Zeus and I both said to you, Martin, you've written these amazing books on pretty much every legendary band. Why haven't you written a book on Kiss? And I remember your answer. It was something along the lines of, you said something like, well, what else can be said about Kiss? So I got to ask, what changed?
Well, okay. So what changed? Pretty simple answer here. So because Quarto Motor Books has these different concepts, right? Like I've done those album by album series books,
yes,
where, you know, it was the only way I was ever going to write a book on Pink Floyd, although now I've done two. So that's another story, you know, why there's two. So AC/DC, Queen. So there's a lot of these bands that I didn't have like a ton of interview material on of my own. I mean, to me, that's the anchor. That's the start of these things, right? So,
yep.
So we did the album by album series. They had the illustrated biography series where it's like, no, all we want you to do is like 40,000 words. And then we'll do an amazing job around pictures and stuff. So they also had this, So this is why I recently just had a Who Quadrophenia book come out in the Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon. It's like, we want you to write a book on one album. Right. So again, they weren't particularly interview intensive. It's like, go away and do all this research and stuff. So they also have this other concept. So it wasn't my concept. It was like they've got this at 50 or at 75 concept. There's been an Alice Cooper. I think there's been an Elton John. There's been an Ozzy. I wrote Bowie at 75. I wrote AC/DC at 50. I've got Van Halen at 50 coming out next year. But
nice.
You know, they said you want to do one on Kiss at 50, right? So, you know, the whole idea was basically come up with the funnest part of the whole job was the at 50 concept part, like coming up with, okay, we need you to come up with 50 career milestones, not 49, not 51, exactly 50. And you know, you're going to get X number of words to say your piece on these milestones. So it's almost like a writing challenge of sorts, yeah. Right? And a couple of sidebars. So that's cool. So I figured out ways to use the Kiss interviews I did have throughout the years, right? So that's in there as well. But yeah, so the idea was these are not books that are, we're not asking you to write the greatest biography on Kiss. So much of that has been done by other people, by Kiss themselves, by the Kiss members, one by one, knocking them off, right? And then there's been an amazing, like, deep scholarly Kiss books as well. So that was the concept. And I knew the other great thing about this publisher is they're going to do a beautiful job of layout. And Dennis Pernew, my editor over there, he's a great music guy himself. He's going to do a good job of making sure that the pictures look pretty darn fresh. I mean, people have told me, you know, deep Kiss fans saying, I've never seen that one, whatever, right? So all of that was going to get taken care of. It's a beautiful hardcover. It's through a big U.S. publisher with good distribution. Like, what's not to like about that, right? So that was the one, you know, it's these concepts that come from the outside that allow me to do these books on bands I never would have gotten to do.
Yeah, for me, I can't tell you how blown away I was when I got this.
Yeah.
I have your Zeppelin book, which is the kind of book that you described. This is Houses of the Holy. Okay, great. We go to Presence next, and you break those down. That's great. I've seen others where they're kind of, I don't know if they're self-publicized, where they're small, like in their paperback and things like that.
Yep.
I figured it was going to be something like that. I got this, opened it up. I just got to say, visually, for all you Kiss nerds out there, visually, I'm not sure I know of any other Kiss book as cool looking, feeling, and just fun to browse through and as organized as this. It's incredible. Yeah. Me and Tom were both like, have you seen this yet? We were blown away, Martin. Blown away.
Yeah, and it's funny, Martin. Yeah, Zeus and I have been talking about it since we each received it. And we have every Kiss book ever made, you know, the biographies, the coffee table books, the you know, some of the other deep dive books. And, you know, at this point, you know, we've been doing the show for years, you know, a couple of years. It sometimes it takes a lot to, like, impress us with new Kiss material. But I can tell you, and our listeners know, we're not just saying this because you're a fellow Pantheon friend and a guest. This right here is, like, potentially the crown jewel of my Kiss collection. I mean, it is spectacularly organized. It's a nice big hardcover coffee table. And like you said, the concept, I think, is what's really attractive to people like Zeus and I that have short attention spans.
Exactly.
It's not a book that you have to read. You can be like, okay, I'm going to stop at the Mike Douglas interview. Okay. Oh, you know what? I'm going to stop at the section where they were on Phantom of the Park. And I think that's what really adds to it.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. You know, and come to think of it, I guess you're right. I mean, a lot of books. So there are the books that have lots and lots of words in them. And those are actually the ones, if they're coming from the band, they're not going to be like coffee table books, right? So
yeah, exactly.
So there's that, and those are the ones through the big publishers. And then there's other ones that are on medium-sized publishers or self-published and stuff. So yeah, this is, I suppose, going to look good. I mean, that's kind of the good thing about it. You know, and the other thing that if I'm to stick up for this book, because the whole time I'm writing it, I'm thinking all the deep Kiss fans are going to not be that impressed by this thing, because it is pretty surface. It's not tons and tons of words and stuff. But what also it allowed me to do is make sure that I crammed in as much good writing, because everything was a challenge word count wise. Like for every topic, I had 3-4 times as much as I needed. And I spent most of the time trying to polish it down to, like, get it into the space, like cram it in. Yeah. So I think the writing's dense enough that it's interesting sentence to sentence. And I think also, you know, there's no constraints put on me in terms of, like, well, you got to write this for a general audience or something. I'm still thinking it's a deep Kiss fan that I'm writing for. Right. So my opinions are in there, and some of those are contrarian, and I'll complain. I won't pull punches. There's a lot of stuff I complain about, just like all of us angry Kiss fans. Right. Yes. So I'm in there doing that at the same time. So I guess the writing for what it is there, but it's not the book on every solo album, you know, big thick book or anything. Sure. Like that, right?
I think what you just said is really interesting too for people who either just got it or haven't gotten it or will get it, is that it's not just, you know, fact-based, which it is. There's a ton of, you know, if you read the section, you know, on when they took the makeup off or whatever. But I really like your strong opinions. Zeus and I are obviously very strongly opinionated about everything, but especially Kiss. So hearing you talk about these, you know, historical mileposts and then throwing in your opinions about what you think. I think that just really adds, you know, a little bit more to it than just like an encyclopedic type of Kiss book.
Yeah. And, you know, thank you for that. And, you know, also, I'm just thinking off the top of my head. I feel like I contextualize a lot of things too, properly, because I was there, right? I was there with the first album as a new release, and then I was just with the band for the rest of history until now, right? So, yeah. So you know, as each of these milestones come up, it's like I'm thinking, well, I was kind of there, right? Except for anything pre 1973, say, right? You know, in New York City in 1972 or 71 or whatever. I wasn't there for that, but I was there for like the release of the debut Forward kind of thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You have a couple other little things, like some stuff at the end, studio albums, this little gatefold.
I love that.
It's like almost like a nod to like the Alive in Live 2 gatefold stuff. I love it.
That's true. Love it.
Yeah. and go ahead, Tom. Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, like, Martin, you know that Kiss is a visual band and the Kiss fans want visuals. And there is, that's what I'm saying. The organization and the arrangement of the book and the photos, it's just, and I got a really big chuckle out of this part of the book. And, you know, I won't spoil too much of it because it's actually something that you referenced briefly on your first appearance with us years back. Mm-hmm. I think we might have been talking about, you know, favorite Kiss memory or something, and you referenced it in this book a little bit about how you were at a party or a school dance, and you know, you pulled out a Kiss
that was in our basement, my house's basement.
That was, and I remember you telling us that story, your first appearance, and I loved how it made it into the book, and just chuckling at that whole story about how, you know, you were at a party and you put on a Kiss record, and all of a sudden you turn around, all the girls are gone, and it's all the guys.
That was the story. I won't recount it again, but just to polish it a little there.
Yeah.
A buddy, Bobby Davidson, roared through the room holding Kiss Alive. and then it turned into a big party and all the girls went home. Yeah. Yeah. The other funny thing I noticed, that I was just looking through it, and it's like going, oh, well, people are getting. So there's that picture of me with the band in the introduction, right?
Yes.
And I've got sunglasses on. I'm thinking people are going to think I went to this. Some idiot went to this party with his sunglasses on. Mm-hmm. Of course, that's the famous thing where Gene takes off his sunglasses and puts them on someone, right?
Yep. Yeah.
So that was Gene putting his sunglasses on me. It's not me, you know, wearing sunglasses,
going out and
coming to the party in that. So I thought that was kind of funny, but.
Yeah, this is a great photo of you guys. I'm surprised he didn't make you take off your Thin Lizzy shirt, though.
I know. I was just thinking about that, right?
It's true.
But no, they were all very, very nice and respectful. Nobody mentioned it. So,
have you had any feedback from the Kiss, you know, group?
No. I don't expect that I will. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
But that's fine. I mean, but again, you know, it's almost I don't expect any feedback because it's not all that super interesting to them. Or like I say, if you're a super deep Kiss fan, I mean, I could see getting some complaints as like, you know, whatever. It's just something sort of surface or general or corporate or something like that. But I think it's more it's more the concept and the product. And like you guys say, I never really thought of it that way, but that makes me feel better about it. The idea that, I guess if you can compare it to all the Kiss books out there, it is a big publisher doing a really good job that's external and doing this nice job with this. And it's the first time I've ever done a Kiss book too. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing we noticed, and this is because, you know, and I know everybody else noticed it too.
Mm-hmm.
I have to ask, and you know, I don't know if this is inside baseball publishing, licensing, or whatever. So you open up the book and you have these, you know, 200 pages of incredible photos.
Right.
Why doesn't the book cover have the Kiss logo? Why is there kind of like a stylized version of the Kiss logo? Is that because obviously that's a logo licensing issue. Is that what it came down to? Is that a publisher's choice, or how did that come about?
Right. I don't think there was ever. So let's look at the photos. First of all, the way photos works is the photographer who takes a picture of any band owns the rights to those photos. So Dennis, my great photo editor and editor over there. And like I say, music guy, who I've worked with on all these books over the years, he goes to the proper places and the agencies and gets all the photos and stuff, right? Memorabilia is memorabilia. But yeah, I don't think it was ever, in their thoughts that they would actually use the KISS logo without asking KISS. So just like any external product, I suppose, they have to figure out, an interesting way to write KISS. And you always think, oh, it's going to look lousy or whatever. But I think they came up with something pretty good.
Oh, it's awesome. Oh, no, it's really cool. But again, KISS nerds are going to be like, oh, it's a great book. How come the logo is not there?
I think they all know that. I think they all or suspect why, right?
Of course.
You know,
yeah.
That probably, you know, it's like the publisher and their legal team are not even really thinking to try use the KISS logo. They're just thinking probably we can't. Right. So we're going to do this, right?
Okay, yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Because Gene is going to say to you, no problem. That's $300,000. Put it on your book.
Right.
Right.
And everything comes down to that, unfortunately, with them. But anything while researching this that really kind of stood out to you or kind of like changed your philosophy about the band or an album or a part of their history, anything that kind of, you're like, you know what? On second thought. This might have been better. I actually like this more.
Something did come to mind. And it's almost like I liked Hot in the Shade a heck of a lot more than I did in the old days, right?
We love that album.
Yep. Yeah. It's because I had to go through them in order. And you know, when you're writing a book like this, you want to keep moving. So KISS is on your mind all the time, right? And you're remembering. So it's like I'm writing that probably a day or two after I just wrote about Crazy Nights, right?
Yep.
Which I didn't like anymore. But the neat thing was noticing that contrast for the first time, really, like playing them in succession and seeing what the difference is. And you really see them. You really see them on their way to revenge in terms of like, we got to get better at this. We got to offer more value. We got to raise our game in the writing. People are getting tired of this kind of music. We just got to do a better job of it. Right. So I think as you see them moving to that album, they're just saying we got to give everybody a little bit more. And I think they do that. And then I think they do it again on Revenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you were putting, so it's KISS at 50. So, 50 milestones, 50, events of the career. Did you find yourself struggling to kind of keep everything even across their career and not make everything from like 74 to 79? And, obviously the 80s had a lot, but even the past, 20 years, there's some things have happened. But was that a struggle for you to kind of not front load a lot of those moments, or did you not even matter? Did you just go with it? And did you have any other KISS friends or editors or anybody that kind of help you put this list of 50 things together?
Yeah. So interestingly, what happens with Dennis sometimes, and I don't know if we did that with this one, but I will usually come up with 50 and present them to him, and he might want to switch out one or two, or
okay.
I don't think he's ever gotten to three, but the funny thing is he will think visually going, I can't get a picture of that, or what's going to be an interesting picture of that. Right. So what he found hardest to do for these books was when I go like, okay, so KISS plays the Super Bowl, or KISS goes on Mike Douglas, or KISS goes on Dinosaur or something. Right. And it's like, oh boy, I don't know if I can even get my one picture I need for that. Right. So I believe with this one, there was one TV thing that I wanted to include that he made me swap out. It might have been for this that there was something like that. But other than that, no, nobody was really pushing on that. On what my 50 were, but I just opened it to the contents page. This is something that is neat that we've done for all of these books. So he had me break it into parts, and so it looks like I've done five parts here, right? So I called the first one KISS Major, which takes us through Alive 2, so the major years. KISS Minor, which is the solo albums through Creatures of the Night. So this is basically me saying KISS is kind of out of vogue, right?
Yep.
And then we've got part three is MTV, Hair Metal, and KISS, which sums up, we go from Lick It Up through to Alive 3. So that's, this, I always love this idea of, of Kiss being one of the most participatory and enthusiastic bands in the hair metal era, right? Of the 70s bands, right? And then we've got part four reunion. So that takes us from the first official worldwide Kiss convention through to Peter Kiss tours for the last time. So that's good. And then legacy, you know, I did this with the Bowie one as well. Bowie one was really cool because it was something like, what was it? Pop star something. And then ended with legacy or classic, but artist, songwriter, icon. So part five becomes legacy. So all of these bands, Kiss included, I guess you get to a certain stage in their in your career as a 70s band where you're looked at as a classic rock act or as a retro act. Mm-hmm. And so in part five, we go from Kiss honored at the first VH1 Rock Honors. So there's a true legacy thing. And then end of the road world tour. So it's been broken up and we got first 70. So the first one's a little long, granted, as you pointed out, I guess it should be.
Yeah, definitely.
But then the other ones are all pretty much the same size kind of thing. So it's nice. Yeah, we broke it up into five career phases, I guess, if you will.
Yeah. And I think one of the other, and again, just big inside Kiss geeks that we are, and I know everybody who buys this book is going to love it. The creativity of each section being given a Kiss song title.
Yeah.
Right. I thought that, and I love it how, you know, the last section 50, end of the world, world tour, 100,000 years, you know, and then you have like some deep cuts, like, okay, you know, in part three, you have a section called Trial by Fire. And then, you know, like the songs don't necessarily match the era of what you're covering, right. Which I find really creative and really interesting. Yeah. Was that something that was that part of this quote unquote, you know, assignment, or was that just another layer of creativity that you brought to this book?
Funny story about that. So, I think the first one I did of these was probably the first one the company did of these. So it was the Bowie one, right?
Okay.
And I just came up with that idea and Dennis loved it. So I did that with the Bowie one and then it just became tradition that I would do it. And right now, I don't know off the top of my head. Do either of you guys have Ozzy at 50 or Elton John at 50 or ACD or Alice Cooper at 50?
I think I have the Elton John one.
I think I have the Ozzy.
So I don't know if I don't know if Dennis foisted upon. I don't know if Dennis foisted upon the other authors. You got to do this because Martin started it.
right.
I really wonder if in the table of contents those guys do it. Because I don't have any of them. Right.
Right.
So I'm not sure, but it's funny. So I started that, and I love it. It's so fun to do. Right.
Of course.
It's great to go through the song tells. Oh, I'm going to match this one with that. And this one will be funny here because it makes a little joke. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought that was definitely a blast to do. It's not a task I hate doing. I think it's pretty cool.
Well, one of the reasons I brought it up, kind of, first of all, to kind of give you kudos for it, because it's super creative. But early on, when Zeus and I started this show, we used to name our episodes after songs.
Right.
And then eventually we got to the point where we're like, all right, we got to kind of transition away from this because sometimes people see the episode title, they're going to think it's something else. But we would name an episode. Oh, we're going to call this one Hooligan. And it would be an episode about Peter Chris, you know, kind of like you have Hooligan here and it's about Peter Chris. Like, so I thought that was just kind of like an interesting, you know, creativity because there's so many song titles and they all could mean so many things. I thought that was just a nice little fun layer there.
Have you guys ever done a show on what Kiss song titles are used for other great heavy metal songs all over the place? Because there's probably a lot of them, right?
Well, that sounds like an episode for your podcast.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I've probably done one similar to that.
Yeah, exactly.
I've done a lot of Mon song titles. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a History in Five Songs episode right there. Yeah.
I think we did that when we were talking about the song title Coming Home.
Yes,
because I mean, right off the top of my head, I'm like, oh, that's Scorpions. Isn't Cinderella got that? That's Kiss. No, that's and there's a lot of songs like that similar in the Kiss catalog that you're right, that can be heard on other albums. Just a slight word or two that's missing.
Yeah.
I think I remember seeing somewhere that I discovered this. I noticed this, that on, I think it's Ted Nugent's Scream Dream, there's like four songs there that are Whitesnake titles.
Well, that's, that makes sense.
I think Y&T does, has a lot of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When we did Black Tiger, right.
There's a good episode there of some sort.
We reviewed Black Tiger, and I think we're all like, all these songs are songs from other bands that
that's
I
right,
recognize.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, yeah, that's right.
I'm familiar with that. But overall, what is your lasting impression doing this on Kiss? Kiss wrapping it up. Do you have a thought on their legacy now that, hey, the, in a couple months, we'll be there. I don't know if you're going to make it to New York. We're going to be at that final show. Any lasting thoughts that you have of, hey, they're ending. This is my thoughts on Kiss.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think all of us Kiss fans are angry people. You know, we all have been complaining for years for various reasons that they should have hung it up here or hung it up there or whatever, right? Yeah. And then they just keep going on, and then, you know, the backing tape controversy and all that kind of stuff, right?
Oh yeah,
you have no idea what we deal with as a Kiss podcast, hearing about all this shit. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of wish there would have been another album in there at some point again. To me, that's always more important than the concert thing. So I don't have a lot of big sentimentality about that stuff on the live thing. I'm starting to be that guy who really complains about you know, not caring about live concerts or tours or things very much. And I definitely am like that. I kind of wish they would have had another album along the way.
I think a lot of people wish that too. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because, but, you know, they probably look around and see all the fans did was complain about Monster and Sonic Boom. So why the heck should we make another album? We don't need that crap. Right. Exactly. So, but I think they're both good albums. I have no problem with them at all, but, it's the thing I always wish with these bands, because, you know, with a lot of studio help, there could be another. Well, there was another Ozzy Osbourne album, right?
Yeah.
You know, all of these guys could do a beautiful job, and we can hear those voices, and they're going to sound great, and they're not going to sound fake, because you're in the studio. You're recording exactly when you want to. You're not tired. You're not worn out. You're not hungover, right? All of that stuff. You know, Kiss could make five more albums before they retire at this point. But, you know, we're not going to probably get any more albums. So,
right. Yeah.
So what is your thoughts? First of all, I'll be specific on Kiss. Are you the type that gets into the Kiss Creatures of the Night box set, the Kiss Destroyer box set that came out, and like dive into the demos and, oh, this mono track or this single edit version of this song? Do you get into box sets and the two box sets specifically, Destroyer and Creatures of the Night? Do you have any thoughts on those?
No, yeah, I haven't been buying that kind of stuff. I mean, I kind of slowed down on the immersion box sets. I mean, I like them when they're, you know, I have the Wall and Dark Side of the Moon and stuff, and the Who one was amazing. Mm-hmm. But no, I'm not a big guy into those, because I've just been won over by Spotify and stuff. And when all that stuff's on Spotify,
really?
YouTube, I would rather just kind of listen to it there. But,
yeah,
you know, I've often thought, you know, maybe you guys can tell me if this has been done with Kiss, but has there been any books on just the rare songs, like just a book just analyzing all the rare songs? So I, you know, even my latest, one of my favorite books that I've done was literally going through every song by the band The Damned, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I did the Zeppelin one, I did the Clash one. Well,
which
I did
is awesome.
The Damned too. And The Damned is just a little trade paperback, but the words are as good as the Zeppelin one or the Clash one, right? And yeah. I went through every single B-side and rarity that band ever put out along with all the studio albums. So I love doing stuff like that, right? And I remember I started compiling a list of all the great Aerosmith songs that aren't on albums, right? So it'd be cool to do something where you analyze every single song. And then the other thing that I could see myself doing a book on Kiss on is something related to this album by album series that I did before, and just get a panel of great experts like you guys and say, all right, you know, Tom, I'm assigning you these three albums, and Zeus, you got these three, and we're going to talk for 20 minutes about it, and I'm going to transcribe it, and it's going to be, you know, an interview in a book, right? So that's the kind of the cool thing, right? Where I could see doing an album by album with a panel of experts on Kiss at some point if the publisher wants one. So
yeah, it's funny, because a while back, I believe it or not, I love hard rock, I love metal, I love all this stuff. I never got into Black Sabbath other than the hits. And right. one of the things I did, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back and I'm going to start from the beginning. And I want to get into Black Sabbath. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, I have Martin Popoff at my fingertips. I'm going to ask him. Because I went to go buy the first album and there's like 15 versions of the first album. Oh, the English version. Oh, the American version. Oh, this one has the extra. So I'm like, hey, Martin, do you have any opinion? You're like, I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I take it you're not into that kind of stuff, like with the new release version with these extra songs or this or that. I just threw my hands up. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll move to another band. And I never.
Yeah, well, the other thing that's important about that is it's that whole garbage in, garbage out thing. It depends on what stereo you're playing stuff on, too. It's like it's and, you know, I'm always blown away by, you know, talking to a knowledgeable music fan. And we both completely disagree on how to describe a production on a certain album. And I'm always like my jaws on the floor.
Interesting.
It's like, you think that drum sound is tinny? And to me, it's like it's very fat and warm and bassy. And how can two people have this difference on what that drum sound is like on that album, right? So when we get into the different versions of remasters and things like that, it's like it's so irrelevant to me. It's like,
well, it's kind of what
you get your bass set at 5, why not just turn it up to 8 and you've made your own remaster, right?
It's true. And it's funny, he's kind of circling back to this and bringing it back to Kiss. Like you said about like a tinny drum sound, but I like it. It sounds warm and fat. It's the same thing when you talk to Kiss fans about the Hotter Than Hell sound. Oh, I love it. It sounds so dark and gloomy. And I'm like, this sounds like shit. It sounds like it was recorded in a submarine. I can't listen to it. And some of these songs are really good, but I can't listen. If I'm listening, I have to listen to them on a live album. And, right. you know, I mean, that's just kind of like that whole inside, you know, that discussion that Kiss fans love to have about every little piece of minutia. But it is funny. And the same thing people say, oh, I like Hot in the Shade, but the production's terrible. Or, you know, I like
demos and the sound quality, you can tell.
Right. They're like unfinished demos. I'm like, I don't know. All I know is Silver Spoon's a freaking great song. And that's all I care about. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
That's fucking great. Yeah. The other thing, and I have Martin Popoff here, so I kind of want to pick your brain because you're one of the other few people I know that really likes Rainbow.
Mm.
Yeah. So do you mind if I ask you a question off topic a little here?
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
So I know that the funny thing is that you're a contrarian about this stuff, and Down to Earth is your favorite Rainbow album. It is mine too. We've had the great Graham Bonnet on our show before. Love him and his lovely gal. They're fucking awesome.
Yep.
I find that album just to be the middle ground between the two, like the popish Jolynn Turner and the really kind of, I don't know, Dio-ish, you can call it, original first couple albums. Have you ever ranked these albums? And if you did, how would you rank the Rainbow albums?
Yeah, I probably have gone on shows and ranked these albums. So I would go Down to Earth, Rising, Long Live Rock and Roll, Bent Out of Shape. And then I would probably go Straight Between the Eyes, Difficult to Cure, the debut. And that drives people crazy too, because there's a lot of Rainbow fans that think the first album is the very best album they ever did, right? And I find it pretty wobbly. I mean, it's the performances aren't great, the production's not great. It's got Black Sheep of the Family on it.
You don't like that? That's my favorite song on that whole album. That's the whole reason there's the Rainbow
or whatever. I know that's so bizarre.
The whole reason that they did Rainbow is because he wanted that song, and that's
and the whole Down to Earth thing, it's like I always shake my head that people think that album is popular than it is, because they're immediately thinking of Making Love, Since You've Been Gone. And the verses of All Night Long, right?
Yep.
The entire rest of the album is just as heavy as Long Live Rock and Roll, because Long Live Rock and Roll's got LA Connection.
Yeah.
It's got Rainbow Eyes. You know, even couple other I mean, Long Live Rock and Roll is a little sing-songy and dancey. I mean, it's not that heavy an album. It's not, so, right. You know, and you got like
it's a Man on the Silver Mountain. It's a Man on Silver Mountain Part Two. I've always felt.
It's very similar to that. The production's not great on that album either. You know, even my good friend Monty Connor loves to complain about Rising having 3 songs out of 6 that aren't so great. And he makes a good point. He thinks Do You Close Your Eyes, Starstruck, and Run With the Wolf are a little substandard, right? And then Starstruck? He says, well, that's 3 out of 6 songs. So it's why is Rising one of the greatest metal albums of all time, right? So he makes that point. But yeah, I don't think Down to Earth with like Lost in Hollywood and Eyes of the World and Danger Zone. It's heavy, man.
Yeah, you're right. It's a album. People hear Since You've Been Gone. You're like, oh, that's that song. Well, that's when they try to sound like Boston, you know, because it sounds like More Than a Feeling. But let's be serious. They wrote those songs for that reason. But the rest of the album is, you know, kind of dark and kind of gloomy and heavy. I think it was the issue that when we review that album on our sidecast was Graham Bonnet's voice is good, but does it fit? For me personally, I prefer either Dio or Jolynn Turner, because those versions of Rainbow, they were all in on that style of music. To me, Down to Earth was like, we got 1 foot here, we got 1 foot here, and neither feet know what each other are doing. Not that it's a bad album, but I don't. Yeah. By the way, I just love the fact that this has just devolved into a Rainbow conversation.
Oh, I got more. I got to go.
No,
now.
I know. It's great. No, we love this. We love it.
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to add is, though, by the way, have you heard Tom bought me, I think for Christmas, the Monsters of Rock. The Rainbow concert. That's Graham Bonnet doing Dio. That concert was incredible. And I thought he thought he did a fantastic job on those Dio songs. I really do. But go ahead.
Well, I just, you know, on the subject of Graham, I mean, I think that album gets put down a little bit as well, because they were trying to be a little more universal and, you know, man-woman relationship-y on the lyrics, I suppose. Yeah. And if you're affected by the lyrics, you can think it's a little poppier for that reason. But sorry, go ahead, Zeus.
No, I was going to say, his look didn't help either. But
Does he look like a cop from an episode of Chips?
Yeah. I find him to be the coolest one of them. And then he's had some great songs outside of Rainbow as well. But I'm just thinking, on the JLT stuff, you put Difficult to Cure last? Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny. That one and Straight Between the Eyes, I feel like they're ticking off the boxes. They don't hold together like conceptually. And then for some reason, Bent Out of Shape to me, even though it might be the mellowest and the simplest of them.
Yeah, and the poppiest. Yeah.
It's moved the furthest away. To me, I've always looked at that record almost like a concept album, like not conceptual story-wise, but I feel like they've literally, for the first time, got the personality of the sound rather than being this guy and this guy and this guy doing their thing, which is how I feel the first two are. I feel on this one, they really kind of get a singular purpose on it. There's something conceptually about the arrangements and that album cover and the green and everything about it. It just feels kind of like moody and dark, even though it is the most it's the one with the most pregnant pauses and spaces in it and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make Tom happy. I'll get us away from Rainbow.
I like Rainbow. I'm a Dio and a JLT Rainbow guy, but I don't mind Down to Earth, but it's not a go-to album for me.
What I was going to say
to Martin, just kind of circling back here to your new Kiss book. By the way, Kiss at 50, you can buy it at martinpopoff.com. And if you get it from martinpopoff.com, he will give you a clever signing like me. I live in Nashua, New Hampshire. My book says Nashua Rock City. What's better than that? So if you're going to get it, go to martinpopoff.com. But
I got to say something. So, please. The funny thing about, so every time I have a new book, I go through all the song titles and see if there's something catchy, right?
Yeah.
And I couldn't find anything for Kiss.
Really?
And it proves, and Blue Oyster Cult has like 5 really catchy things that you can say. And it's almost, and Van Halen was super hard too. There was nothing. I went through every single song title, and Priest has some good ones. But it almost every time is the litmus test to tell if this is a really good lyrical band, right? And that's why Blue Oyster Cult is always, it always like it reinforced to me, okay, yeah, there's some clever things I can write for Blue Oyster Cult. And Kiss was so hard to come up with anything good. But you try it one day, go through all the Kiss song titles and say, if I wrote a Kiss book, what could I say is really funny, right?
Well, you can always tell people, hey, Tom, read my body, signed Martin Popoff.
You can do that. Yeah, yeah. So now that
everyone got to choose on some of them or whatever, yeah, it's like, I couldn't come up with, but Blue Oyster Cult's like, don't fear the reader. You know,
oh, there you, like, oh, there you go. That's clear.
Dude, that's not that easy that you came up with that. That's a good one.
That's good. That's good. I mean, it could have been worse. You could have said that to Tom, let me throw a log in your fireplace. It could have been something like that, you know, something terrible like that. Yeah. But now, so now that you finally have a Kiss book under your belt, in your mind, is there any band that you have yet to kind of reach that mountaintop on with another? You hinted that maybe there's another Kiss book somewhere down the road in terms of the discography. Mm-hmm. How do you feel now having Kiss, that one, probably the last like huge legacy act that you haven't covered, you've done them now. Mm-hmm. What's next? If you can kind of give like a sneak peek at what you might have up your sleeve.
Well, again, just because of these concepts, it would be nice to just have one of these happen again for one of these bands. Because like I say, I don't have to have a ton of interviews. Right. But, I guess I've done one Queen book. Queen would have been but you know, that is an album by album, which I like doing, but so I could see doing that on Kiss. You know, I would like to do, you know, there's been some talk with the publisher of possibly doing either a Motorhead at 50 or, the other concept is the album by album thing. So we've been talking back and forth about, oh, which would be better, album by album or at 50. And it's so funny. It's like, I have these conversations with Dennis and they're both completely, completely, completely different big projects. Right. And I honestly, I look at them and go, I don't know which one I enjoy more, which would be easier. Right. Because on the one hand, when I do an at 50, I just have to sit down and knuckle down and do this on my own. When I do one of these album by album ones, at least for this publisher, they want me to get some celebrities involved to be part of them, right? And that's always like sending out all these formal letters and getting completely rejected and scheduling and being nervous doing the interview and all that stuff. So for those five that I did for them, I had to go get some celebrities, right? So, but the other end of it, it's kind of maybe more fun to just talk with people about every studio album, go through it rather than the hard graft of having to do this super polished writing. So it's funny. Yeah. The difference is one is just all in my camp and I got to involve a lot of other people. So that's always a pain. So, but yeah, it was pretty cool writing a whole book on The Who, Quadrophenia, and a whole book on Dark Side of the Moon. I never thought I would ever do that. So yeah, as the years go on and we get these 50 anniversaries, as long as they keep doing them and they keep selling, they'll keep wanting them. So it's cool going through the years and having one of those happen. It's like, okay, time to do this now. Right. You know, we talked about doing, you know, I probably could have said yes, and I could have done a book on Physical Graffiti, right? But then the thing is like, oh man, I did that Zeppelin book, and I already talked that much about every single song on Physical Graffiti. It's kind of like fraudulent to me to do it again and like just use all my same stuff that I used in this book for the same publisher. It's like, Dennis, man, I got to say no on that one. It's like,
yeah, that makes sense.
Like,
that's fair.
I can't raise the enthusiasm to give you the same damn thing again that we did in the Zeppelin book 5 years ago.
I'd buy it.
I would too. I would definitely buy it. Of course. Especially if it's Physical Graffiti. Yeah.
But I'm burnt out. I mean, I how much more can I possibly say? There's already 10 or 12 or 20 pages on Physical Graffiti in that, but well, it's probably 30 pages, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, there's always Zeppelin 3. You could always tackle then.
Yeah. Well, as time goes on, we're going to be looking at the 50th anniversaries for 1975 and then 1976, 1977. So that's hopefully right. Some really good ones will come up. Right.
Yeah. Well, the book is Kiss at 50. It is absolutely spectacular. I'm telling you, if you're a Kiss fan, this is an absolute must own. And again, we're not saying that just because we're friends with Martin and he's on the show. It's amazing. It's a beautiful hardcover coffee table book loaded with incredible pictures. Nice, easy read. Pick it up and put it down when you want. Kiss at 50. Get it at martinpopoff.com. Martin, thanks so much. We're so happy. Congrats on the book. As two Kiss nerds right here, we love it. So bravo.
Thanks, guys. This was a blast. Very cool.
Awesome.
Thanks, Martin. Tom, what a fun conversation that was.
It's great. I tell you, I love talking to Martin. I love picking his brain about this book because the layout is spectacular. We talked about it, how it's not a novel. It's not a biography that you have to read and put a bookmark in and do chapters and everything. The pictures are spectacular. I mean, I literally said this. We both said this. We have pretty much every Kiss book under the sun, whether it's a biography or a story about an album or whatever behind the mask. This, to me, is exactly what Kiss fans want. A nice, beautiful, hardbound coffee table book with incredible pictures. Talks about the 50 key moments in history with the band. It's really, really spectacular. And I love just picking his brain about how he got to it.
The other thing is Martin is a fan, but he's not a fanboy. He's an author. He's a rock critic.
Exactly.
So there
are
things that aren't going to be 100% positive, but they're going to give his analysis and breakdown. So you're not just getting like, oh, Kiss is the greatest happy footy pajama groove. You know, it's in there. But I love it. I we can't say it enough. Go to martinpopoff.com, order the book, and support him and purchase it. It'll make a great holiday gift amongst many other great holiday gifts that'll probably come up around this time.
Yeah, it's an absolute must own. I mean, you will not be disappointed. It's probably my favorite book. I pick it up and put it down all the time, whether I'm finding a new picture.
I pick things up and put them down.
Whether I'm looking at a new picture or checking out a new section or opening up that gatefold that's in the middle, it's just spectacular. You have to get it. So please check it out, martinpopoff.com.
Yeah, Tom, what we do next is we answer a Kiss question. You got one?
We do. And he didn't get comment of the week, but he gets question of the week. And that is, again, our buddy Nick Carcieri. Oh. This is actually a great one that I saw on Loudcasters, and I think he put it out there as a question to the group, which is fine, but I saw it and I'm like, this would be a really good question for me and you to talk about briefly. He says, I know there was a lot of debate about whether Eric Singer and Tommy should be singing Peter and Ace songs, but what are people's thoughts on when Eric Carr would sing Peter songs? Ooh.
Well, I can tell you that, you know, him doing Beth was kind of like, come on.
I agree. People didn't like it.
The thing about doing like Peter songs, half of his songs weren't written by Peter. So a lot of them were written by Paul. So if someone does Hard Luck Woman, if somebody does Mainline, are people really going to complain? Or is Peter going to get upset? I don't think so. But Beth is his signature song. But the problem is Beth was a radio hit and is a power ballad and one of the first. How do they not get away with it? If you Kiss is wrapping it up, someone's got to sing it. And if Eric Carr was singing it, I really wouldn't care that much. But, you know, Ace's Shock Me is a little bit hard to do, or Ace's New York Groove would be hard to kind of get away with because Kiss has enough songs. They don't need to be playing those.
What about the fact that when he posts this picture, he posts a YouTube video from 1990 of Eric Carr doing Black Diamond?
Well, yeah, he did do Black Diamond. I don't know.
No, I know, that's what I'm saying. Like,
no, I don't think anybody should have a problem with Eric Singer or Carr doing Black Diamond. That's a Paul Stanley really song.
Here's my theory, and I'm going to dumb it. Here's my theory, and I'm going to dumb it down. No one cared about Eric Carr singing Peter vocal songs because A, he either sang them with no makeup or he sang them in the Fox makeup. It pisses people off because Eric Singer is doing Peter songs in Peter's makeup. That's my theory.
But what songs is he
That's
doing?
My.
He's only
Beth,
doing
Beth and Black Diamond.
Do you think that Eric Singer gets shit for singing Beth because it's Peter's song? I think Eric Singer gets shit for doing Beth because it's fake on a piano and people are sick of hearing Beth. They don't really want to hear it. I don't think it's the blasphemy of it.
I do.
I'll disagree with this, but I think
the Ace Cult. Yeah, because the Ace Cult is bigger than the Peter Cult.
Thank you. And yeah, so I really think that's the bigger deal. Shock Me gets people way more pissed, Tommy, doing that.
I agree. Yes.
Because Shock Me was a not even a hit. It's a decent song that people like, but they attribute it as to 100% being Ace.
So well, they don't he wrote it because it was based on a personal incident that happened to him himself.
And it's also his first song he sang, and people love the solo.
Right.
But they don't need to have Shock Me in to be like, oh, that's not a complete, you know, going away tour because they didn't play Shock Me. Come on. Nobody would say that. Beth is a little bigger if it's not in the set list. That was their biggest hit.
But you got to remember, if the band is selling the Demon, the Star Child, the Spaceman, and the Catman, and not Ace, Peter, Paul, and Gene, then the Spaceman has to sing Shock Me because it's a signature song for the Spaceman.
No, they don't.
I'm not saying it's right, because I think it's bullshit, especially when he's shooting rockets off the thing. Yeah, I think that's one of the things that bothers me.
Yeah, the solo doesn't need to be done. And it's not so much that, is it really that bad? It's just like, why do you have to give them ammunition? You don't need to do that.
I agree.
And you're asking for problems. It's not worth it to do it that way.
Plus, another thing, too, I think back when Eric Carr was in Kiss, there was no social media.
Yeah.
People didn't have a forum like they do now to constantly bitch 24/7 on Twitter and Facebook.
And the Peter and Ace people and fans weren't fucking shitting on Eric Carr for doing it.
Exactly.
Yep.
Yep, that's a great question, Nick. That's the thing that could be like an entire episode, and I love those kinds of conversations and those kinds of questions. So thank you so much for your email, obviously, earlier, and of course, your question of the week, buddy.
Tom, where can people find us?
Our website's the best place to go, shoutoutloudcast.com. You can find all of our episodes there, all the Shout It Out Loudcast episodes, Dorm Damage, Zeppelin Chronicles, Album Review Crew. And, of course, you can click on our links for Amazon merch, our Amazon shopping page, our Patreon link, all of our social media links, and you can send us messages directly from the website that we'll get in the form of an email. And if you want your question read on the show as part of our Question of the Week segment or our upcoming mailbag, you can use the website to do that, and we'll get it in the form of an email, or you can go old-fashioned email to shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. We read every single email that you send us. We might not have the time to read all of them during the show, but we read them all, so please take a look at that. And, of course, our social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, we're on all those. And, of course, our wonderful Patreon family, please check that out, patreon.com, download the app or click on the link on our website. And we always like to say that we and our guest, Martin Popoff, are both proud members of the Pantheon Podcast Network of shows.
Yeah, people can DM us, Tom, on Facebook, Instagram, X, Twitter, whatever the fuck you call it. They can also subscribe to our YouTube channel.
YouTube.
We appreciate when you do that. Please give us a 5-star child review on Apple Podcasts, Facebook, Spotify, wherever you can give us a actual review. We appreciate those are big help to the show. It moves us up the food chain and gets us out in front of a bigger audience. So please give us a 5-star review. We'll actually read it on the air. Please, you can feel free to email us, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, and go to him. Which is go to our website, and that is shoutitoutloudcast.com, shoutitoutloudcast.com. There you can get merch. You can get our Amazon store. You can check out all our episodes, see our rankings, see photos. I've updated the photo gallery. We've gotten a lot of photos recently from some of our listeners. So if you're wearing Shout It Out Loudcast gear and you want us to put you on the website, check it out. I've dumped a ton of new shit on there. So check out the pictures. You can look at our friends section. Every guest that we've had, you can look at their stuff. If you click on the pic, you go to their website if you want more information about our guest. Awesome stuff there. Our website is fucking fully interactive. It's awesome. Please check that out. And what we like to do, though, is end on famous last words. Do you have any?
Always. I'm sailing like a ship on the sea.
Oh,
I don't care if I'm lost in the haze. I hear the angels singing softly to me. Time's the enemy that you never see. Just fucking horrendous. just, he shouldn't have been sued by Alice Cooper for copying I'm 18. He should have been sued because that song is horrendous. Ugh.
I've got some good ones.
I'm sure you do.
You wanted my disease. You have to do as I please. You'll jump off the roof if I say. What? I won't let you get away.
That's such a great lyric. You'll jump off the roof if I say.
Okay. Martin Popoff, Tom, Loudcasters, Kiss Army, thank you.
Huge thanks to Martin Popoff. Congrats on the great book, Kiss at 50. Guys, you're the best. Thank you so much for everything. Always. And Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout. Cut the music. What I want now, all you fat, out of shape, worldwide kiss cards to keep the noise down while I show the ladies what a real sexy man looks like. Hit the music.
Listen, all you people out there sitting on rented furniture, settle down.
Anybody seen Richie? Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.